very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello and welcome to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us go over Olympic pairs lore. This is an episode where if you have been watching us for a long time, hi, thank you. It's going to be a nice little refresher for you. And if you're new here, we're going to answer questions like, who is Minicky? And why do the Georgians and Hungarians look really Russian? So,
why are Hungarians?
The Hungarians are Russian too.
Are they? No,
she is.
She is?
For sure she is, right?
I guess Pavlova is sort of the dead guy.
Yeah, I think they both are from Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Yeah, so we're all learning new things here. I am one of your hosts, not Olympian, Ashley Wagner.
You are an Olympian.
I'm being an idiot now. I was so excited to like be a little shady that I'm freaking out.
Not Olympian. Well, we're not Olympians this year. None of
not
us.
This
and
year.
I
we're
am
not
in fact
competing.
Not an Olympian, period. But none of us are Olympians in Milan. So
yeah. So not Olympic champion, Sarah Hughes. Not Olympic champion, Adam Rapon.
But Olympian.
But Olympian. Nonetheless. Okay. So Adam,
yes.
You said that you feel prepared to lead us into the pairs.
I absolutely do. And as you are sort of stripping yourself of Olympian status, I think maybe it's time that we get started.
Are you going to do any sort of like historic background on like pairs figure skating at the Olympics, because I can do that relatively easily if you would like.
How about, Sarah, you take me to, because what I was planning to do, because in my mind this is an episode for like, if like Ashley said, if you're listening and watching us, like, welcome back. This is for the episode of like, hey, send this to your friends so they can get the stakes and the scope of like who's there, who's competing, what are some names, just some familiarity.
Yeah.
And so that you can get like the context of like, what is there a little bit background and whatever. But as a general overarching pairs figure skating history lesson, Sarah, would you take us at least up to the 2022 Beijing Olympics, the last Winter Games?
Yes, and I'm going to be brief here, but it made me think of it when we were talking about the Georgians and the Hungarians being Russian, is that if you've never watched pairs figure skating, or you're tuning in after a while, one of the things to know is that the pairs discipline, A, is the discipline where there's a couple, there's a man and a woman on the ice, and they are doing the acrobatic elements. So they do singles jumps like the single skaters do, but they also do throws, they do twists, basically anything where the man is tossing the woman away like trash.
Right. Chucking. A lot of chucking is involved.
Yeah. Women should be thrown is what they believe.
Not everyone always believed that, but now everyone has to do it. So the discipline has primarily been dominated since the 1960s by Russian pairs, formerly Soviet pairs, then unified team pairs when the Soviet Union fell, then Russian pairs. But they won the gold medal at the Olympics basically from 1964 all the way to 2006, uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. So the thing that's like, and then they won again in 2014. They hadn't been off a pairs podium from 1964 until 2014. They were on every pairs podium and they won almost all of them.
Talented.
Yes. So they were off of the podium in 2018, which that was 8 years ago. That was the first time that had happened in forever. And then in the most recent Olympics, the Russians competed as a quote-unquote neutral team. They competed as the Russian Olympic Committee. as part of some punishments for doping in the past. But two of those quote unquote neutral teams were on the podium in Beijing 4 years ago in second and in third place. But right after that, the Russians got banned and there are no Russian pairs here. So in the pairs event and in the women's event, the Russian absence is the most glaring in the sense mm-hmm. that they were very dominant and now they're not going to be here. Mm-hmm. So there's no Russian pairs competing here who are, well, let me say, there are Russian people competing in the pairs event, but they have to be under a flag that is not Russian.
Right, under the guise Russian of, flag is yeah. not present.
Correct. And there's no even, like,
different regimes.
Neutral. There's right. not but even
the
neutral
spirit
Russians.
Of Russia is alive and well within yeah. this event.
Yeah, well, and Sarah, actually, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, is that there are no yeah. neutral athletes. So Russia had the opportunity to submit a pair that was not cleared as a neutral athlete. So they weren't even allowed to go to, there was this Olympic qualifying event earlier in this season so that they could qualify that spot, which the Russians absolutely would have been able to do. Mm-hmm. But those Russians were not deemed as neutral athletes and they had been showing support of the war in Ukraine. So Russia doesn't even get a selection. I'm sort of correct, right?
No, yeah, no, you are yeah. correct. Yeah, there were a lot of, they were allowed to submit a pair team and there were a lot of conditions that had to be met by the submission, like by the submitted skaters, basically to be neutral, like not in favor of the war in Ukraine, not be, you know, at official events with Putin, things like that. Like their social media was checked. It was like a lot of different things. Their pairs did not clear those conditions. So they're not here. Mm-hmm. And so what we saw in the last 4 years without them being present on the international scene was sort of a complete like reworking of the way international pairs looks because the Russians used to be so dominant in between Olympics and at the Olympics and at the World Championships. And so this quad, these last 4 years, has been kind of an amazing display of watching teams from all over the world find their own identity in pairs. And at first it was like a little shaky, you know, like it was a little like, wow, this discipline is kind of a mess. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and these teams are so not used to being at the top, you know,
right.
and so like, is it going to stay like this? It didn't, you know, like they figured it out. And now we have, you know, so many great pairs teams from all over the world. And the Russian pairs are at home doing domestic competitions on their own and they won't be here. So that's kind of what we're going to look at today is like, what is the landscape that has emerged in the last 4 years? Because it was a really big reset after 2022, not mm-hmm. just because of the Russians, like the Olympic champions from 2022, Sui and Han stepped away from skating for most of this quad. So they were also absent. And so mm-hmm. this, like these last 4 years have allowed a lot of space for other teams to grow into, you know, their spots at the top and come into their own. And Sui and Han are going to be back for this Olympics, but they, you know, it's kind of remains to be seen how they will fit in to the new picture of international pairs.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
exactly.
So hopefully that was brief enough, but I just wanted to kind of set the table for Milan.
Well, I feel like the table is set. And something to add into what Sarah said is that there's this long history of like Russian dominance in this pairs field. But probably since the early 2000s, there's been a surging dominance of Chinese pairs. That mm-hmm. there's been a lot of really good Chinese pairs. In this like quad, we don't really see a lot of them. But like, let's start at the 2022 Olympics. So like Sarah mentioned, we have Sui and Han from China, who were the gold medalists in Beijing. Okay? They retire. So we think. Okay?
Yeah.
They retire.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Your silver and bronze medalists represented not Russia, because Russia itself was banned. They represented the Russian Olympic Committee. And your silver medalist was Yevgenia Tarasova and Vladimir Morozov. And your bronze medalist. Did I say bronze medalist? I meant silver.
I think, yeah, silver was Tarasova, yes. Morozov. Yep.
And bronze was Mishina Galiamov. Okay.
Oh,
these are two
time traveling.
Yeah, I know. You haven't heard these names in forever.
No.
So that's your landscape of like what happened at the last Olympics. Now, like we said, Sway and Han decided to come back this season. So we haven't seen them the entire quad except for like a few smaller international competitions. We saw them at the Grand Prix series. Basically, like, have they won anything? No. But they've medaled at a few of these things. And the scores have been like okay. But the thing about them is that they're Olympic champions. Some would even consider them one of the greatest pairs of all time.
Yeah, they would.
They're absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. They are a bit bruised and battered.
Always. So
always.
They're what we call hurt guys, and gals.
Hurt guys, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing about them is that like every event that they've been doing so far this year, it's like gotten a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And their biggest advantage is they already have what everybody wants, which is an Olympic title. So by the time we see them in Milan, will it be enough time for them to kind of retake the crown? Will it be enough time for them to be as competitive? Because I think as it stands, the next teams that we'll talk about, they, when everything kind of shakes out, I could see them placing behind a lot of these pairs just because they've had the experience of competing and they're in better like physical condition. Does that seem fair to say?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And like, I mean, just to like to just be like as clear as possible, like there are, if I'm looking at this right now, there is one team from the top 10 at the Olympics that will be here other than Sui and Han. That's it.
Landscape change.
Eight of the 10 top 10 teams at the, that's why I said it's not just the Russians. This was like full reset.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there are there's like brand new teams. There's teams that just haven't had their chance on the Olympic stage yet. There's like countries that we haven't seen compete at this level in pairs. So yeah, so Sui and Han do have something, and it is an injury always.
Right. Yes. They always.
And typically with him, right?
It's both.
Shoulder injury usually.
He's had some back trouble. He's had some shoulder trouble and like in pairs. Obviously, back is bad for any sport ever. In pairs, like a shoulder for the man is pretty common because you're lifting the woman above your head. And so that is like not that unusual, but it can really like that screws you up because lifts are so valuable.
Your labrum just doesn't really love that.
Yeah.
Over time.
Like if you can't do a lift in pairs, you can't compete.
Do pairs.
Yeah.
No.
You can't do pairs.
Yeah. And she's had a lot of ankle type stuff, Ashley, the years. So they both have been at varying times just like unable to move and
do
make
pairs.
It happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the thing that makes them stand out when you're watching them at this games, she in particular has this like magnetic energy on the ice. And so you just get pulled in. She is so confident in her pairs that I feel like she's one of the few women on the circuit in this discipline that can kind of push past thinking about all of these things they have to get done and actually perform. Like that is what stands out to me the most with them.
She's even the best performer.
The best.
One of the best
ever. She's so good and just like pulls you in. So that's really like the experience to look forward to with them, regardless of where they end up, because there's just like a lot of unknowns.
Right.
Yeah,
they started out the season slow and they've been going up, 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 up. So it's like, are they going to make a big jump from when we saw them last on the Grand Prix circuit a couple months ago? That's very possible, but it's also very possible that that jump isn't as big as they need it to be.
Right. Yeah, they have the energy of the elder statesman in the room, like when they are on the ice, because they have been here before. They got silver 2 Olympics ago, and then they got gold last Olympics. And they've won 2 world titles. They've been on the world podium like 5 or 6 times. They're like, they've been, so everybody really just like reveres them in the sport. And because they're a bit older and have all that experience, they do have like a completely different kind of energy about their performance style, like Ashley is saying, which is sort of refreshing to see in a sea of
maybe
a little less experienced. Yeah, it makes people nostalgic who are skating fans for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're also the team where when they're on the warm-ups with all of these other teams, it's like they're the famous ones.
Totally. Yeah.
Like they're that's the ones where the skaters they're competing against are like, oh my God.
Exactly.
Like they're the it.
No, because everybody, all these teams like looked up to them, like because
some
they were winning Olympic medals
doing
8 years
because
ago.
Because of her.
Yes. Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Because of her. And he's also there.
And his shoulders are hurt.
The other thing that I love about Sway and Han that I think has made them very lovable over the years is that they have this kind of like brother-sister kind of relationship where they like make fun of each other in the press. Mm. They're very close friends, to my knowledge, like have not been romantically involved and just have this like cute, nice relationship where they like poke fun at each other and seem like they have fun together. And mm-hmm. I think that has made them very endeared to the public over the years too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so nice to watch pairs when you know they don't hate each other.
We'll get to that.
We're gonna get to that. So not to spend too much more time on them, because we like they are pretty much in this event they're a real dark horse.
Yeah,
so,
they're like, not a favorite.
No, they are not a favorite. So let's get into some of the names that you need to know getting ready for this pairs competition at the Olympics. So let's just set the stage and we'll talk about our top three medalists from the World Championships in 2025, the last World Championships. So your gold medalists were Rika Miura and Ryuichi Kihara from Japan. They won their second world title at the last World Championships.
Mm-hmm. And were now, they back-to-back? They were, correct?
They were back-to-back. Right? Yes.
Or did yes. Deanna and Matt?
No.
They were not.
They've alternated. So they've
no!
been. They've been in the last 4 years at the World Championships. They've been second, then first, then second, then first.
Yes.
So.
Oh, it's like they're like coding.
It's binary code.
Yeah.
For we want to win the Olympics.
Yeah. It's like SOS.
Yeah. Save us. They're amazing. This team is also very beloved in skating. They have they're really great, like emotional performers. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're really good at making you feel something. And they have, in my opinion, the best skating skills of any team
yes.
in the event. Kind of by far.
Yeah, they're standouts.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't watch a lot of skating, you may not know exactly what we mean by that, but you will know what we mean by that.
It's like smoother. You can kind of feel it's just one piece.
It's faster. It's smoother. It's more powerful. Like they can create a lot of speed and power without a lot of effort. And that means that everything just looks more smooth and fluid as they go. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Yeah. And they.
You're going to watch them, and he is going to look like he could pass out or throw up at the end of his free skate
yeah,
every single time. She will carry him off the ice mm-hmm. without a doubt. And then yeah. he might pass out in the kiss and cry. But it's okay. It happens every time.
That's right.
No,
yeah. It's,
give him
it's
an
okay.
energy
Don't
chew.
Panic.
Don't panic because she's
panic.
Not worried.
No.
Stay in line.
She won't be worried. Yeah.
But they're like, they're fabulous. And for them, for this team, like it's their pairs element. So like in pairs, you're going to get the most amount of points from the elements that they do together. Like the lifts mm-hmm. and the like pair spins
throws.
And throws. Like those are the those are the bread and butter. A lot of these pairs, they might struggle with the singles elements, like the side-by-side jumps. But mm-hmm. they excel in the pairs element, so that's where they get all of these points. So that their strength is not the side-by-side elements, but if when they do them well, that's what really sets them, like, points-wise, a larger margin from everyone else. So also at the World Championships, our next team that we'll talk about were the silver medalists.
Wait, can I add one thing about the Japanese team?
You can
just a couple little color
anything.
Things.
Yeah.
So they're skating to Paint It Black, like a obviously a Rolling Stones song, but kind of a like cover version of it, which is really good. They're skating to Gladiator in their free skate, which is also really good. And that's very much like
Sarah's favorite.
I love it. I couldn't leave it out. But their programs are really great. And Gladiator is very much like a figure skating warhorse soundtrack that a lot of famous skaters in over many years have used. And they are Japanese, but they live in Toronto and that's where they train. So they speak like pretty good English. And they're, just lovely people. And that was my color.
Love
and
it.
They so also won the Grand Prix final in the fall. So like we talk
that's
about
like
the World Championships
last
year.
Event of this season. So until Olympics.
Yeah. The Grand Prix final happens in December. So it just happened 2 months ago. And it's usually like the best predictor of what is going to happen at the Olympics. And so they won Worlds last year, but they also won the Grand Prix final in December. So they're really riding a lot of momentum. They do have a tendency to make little mistakes. And we're going to see if that
they do that.
Yeah, they get better artistry marks than others and they get better execution marks when they do their elements well, but they do make little mistakes quite a bit. And if another team is completely perfect,
it just exposes
them. Cost them a little. Yeah. So, okay, next team, Adam.
Our next team, the Germans. And our first Russian person.
Yes. Right.
So from Germany, they were second at the World Championships last year. Minerva Haase and Nikita Volodin.
Yep.
Minicky.
Which is that's the first time I've ever heard that nickname was
really?
When Ashley said it in the beginning of the episode.
Really?
Yes. I've never heard it
before. Yeah, it's like all over Twitter.
Wow. This is educational for all of us.
No, it is.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
They are absolutely one of the teams, like when you were talking about how the landscape has completely shifted and like new styles of skating have kind of come out of this, they're the first team that came to mind.
Well, they weren't a team, at the beginning of this quad. They didn't exist as a team. They both had previous partners. She was at the last Olympics with her previous partner. Do you guys remember this?
I was going to ask you to tell this story.
Yeah, so she she's German and skated for Germany with another guy named Nolan at the Beijing Olympics, and he got COVID during that Olympics and was put on lockdown. But the pairs event was like late enough in the event and he got it early enough that he could like stay in hotel lockdown or village lockdown, whatever, wherever they put them. And he was still able to compete eventually. But for like a full week while he was in quarantine, she just went to pairs practice by herself and just like skated around doing her jumps with no one to throw her. And that's like, it was one of our favorite things to like tune in and see if Minnie is on the ice by herself again.
the and single she skater was. On the pairs practice.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, she has a new partner, Nikita Volodin, who just got his German citizenship back in the fall.
Yes.
Which is how they're able to compete here.
We have a lot of new citizens across a lot of disciplines.
The world is a small and borderless place.
Well, in most countries.
Right.
That's true.
So... Now, for their style is definitely more technical. And I would say this is the first season that, like, I think they've been coming into their own a bit. Mm. So when you watch, like, the performance quality of, like, of the Japanese who we just mentioned versus them, it does feel a bit more cold. But I think they've really
improved.
That's
just being authentically German.
It's just being German.
That's culture.
Which
as a German myself.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. They're just like pulling upon what is now both of their cultures.
Right. He's trying to be a good citizen.
Yes. But what they do really well is like they're very good at the singles elements and they're very good at the pairs elements. So overall, technically, they're very well-rounded and that is definitely like their strength. It has been, how solid that they can be. We've seen them be a little inconsistent in the last few months, but we've seen them be so consistent over the last few years. So are these just like a few hiccups leading into the Olympics, or is this a sign of things to come? I'm willing to think it's the former, that it's like we've seen them be so consistent and that these are just like the last minute like bumps in the road, because they've always, like, at these major internationals, have shown up and have skated well.
Yeah. And we've seen across the board that when you have citizenship on the line, that's so stressful for a team. The, am I going to compete? Am I not going to be able to compete?
A limbo. That's horrible.
That's just going to like work its way into your psyche, into your training. So I think there's just like a couple factors at play here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like, even though I hope that you are right, Adam, what I will just say in general, and we've said it a million times, like, you never know how somebody is going to respond under Olympic pressure and in on the Olympic stage. Like, you don't know. Like, Minerva has been to the Olympics before, but with another partner. Nikita has not. They've never been together, you know. And so it is, you know, always there's a little bit of a question mark of, okay, like, are they just kind of getting out some last minute, like, kinks in these, like, errors that they've been making at recent competitions? Or is, like, the Olympic anxiety ramping up with them and it's affecting their skating, you know, like...
Right.
Or is there something completely different that we don't know about, like an injury or something? Like, you have no idea. So I just... With all of these teams... To be clear, the three of us have no idea what's going to happen.
No.
No.
No, that's...
But they don't know
so
either.
Wide.
It's so unknown. This, of all the disciplines you're going to watch, this is the one where truly just about anyone that we're talking about could end up on top.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, there's another discipline that comes to mind where I'm like, roll the dice and you can...
Yeah, the men.
The women...
The women.
I mean,
I guess we're already lying.
I guess we can roll a
lot
of dice.
Yeah. We'll get there. So the next team, I'm really excited to talk about them because they have like a lot of like fun facts. And they were third at the World Championships in 2025, the last World Championships. Sarah mentioned the Grand Prix final. They were second, but in a more of a controversial way, where a lot of people thought, I think here included, they could have been the champions.
Yeah,
very realistically. From Italy, they will be skating in a home Olympics. Sarah Conti and Niccolò Macci. Now,
Very excited.
They
to
do
talk
have.
About
a,
them.
I have a fact. I don't think you guys know too.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. Do you want to lead off with it?
Yes, and I just discovered this. So apparently, he's such a bad snorer that people on the Italian team refuse to room with him, which is like not common in skating. You usually have a roommate, and so it's become his own lore across the Italian team that it's just expected that. No
he
one
gets
can
his
be
own room.
With him
yeah.
because his snoring is so bad.
I wonder if they are allowed to do that at the Olympics.
I wonder what
if
they'll
I'm
do at the Olympics.
About the quality of my athletes' performances, I would figure it out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I agree with you. So, like, let's bring a cot into another room for a third person.
He's sleeping in the living room.
No, I'm like, you're out of the village. Have fun at the Holiday Inn. We'll pick you up on the way.
The Holiday in Milan.
Yeah. Holiday in Express Milan.
I mean, Milan. I don't, like, maybe he just should stay home.
Maybe he should get it checked out.
Breathe better. I don't know.
So,
I have surgery for that.
Aside from his snoring issues,
his sleep apnea.
So, I think, Sarah, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I believe that they were a couple. Like on the off of the ice, boyfriend and girlfriend, and he's the one who got her into pair skating. Like, hey, you should do this, and she was like, okay. And
they were dating before they started skating together.
Yes, I'm almost
I think
positive.
That's right, or it was like very similar timing.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. It's like, I'm already having so much fun picking you up. Why don't we try it professionally?
Why don't we try it with knives?
Yeah, on our feet.
Yeah. And so they, in their like debut season together, they win the European title. Like, it's like, everything about what they're doing seems like very good. And it's like off to a very good start. Then
it was their second season together.
Second season. Well, yeah, I'm throwing
it
the
was
first
the
one
first
away.
Season like of this quad where there was okay. like a reset though.
Yes.
So I accept the spirit of the
statement. Wrong answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I respect the spirit of the lie.
Now they then but like what's so amazing about them, this is like what's so Italian about it, is that they skate to like his grandfather's like wedding song, and like they're a couple and the grandfather's wedding song, then of course in Italian fashion they break up, but then they're still skating to the wedding song.
Yep.
And it just yep. gets
it was awesome.
It was amazing. It was incredible.
They didn't miss a beat. They didn't know. They didn't even seem that like they cared that they were broken up.
Yeah.
And what makes it even better.
They dated for like 5 years too. So the fact that they like were, did you know that, Adam? Because
I
checked
didn't know
while
it was
you
that
were
long.
Talking. It, you were right that they were romantically involved well before they were partners.
Yes.
They started dating in 2018. They weren't competing together like internationally until way later than that.
Right.
Do you think it was the snoring that made them break up?
I don't want to rule it out.
No, I wouldn't rule it out. But you might think like, okay, it must have like gone downhill or no, absolutely not. Niccolo's girlfriend, now she's in the mix and she's helping them choose music. And what's the music that she chooses? Like Carmen. Okay, now Carmen is basically about a prostitute. And she's like, no, Sarah will play the prostitute. And you
Sarah
will do a
is
good
the
job.
Prostitute.
And yeah. the program is good, right?
It was
the program
great.
Is good. They,
it was
great.
Really good.
Now, the yeah. drama for them doesn't even end there, because last year, their free program, it's about their dead grandfather and someone's dead father, and they skate to, you guessed it, Papa, Can You Hear Me?
Yep, that's right. That's right.
I mean, we're really seeing a full relationship arc via
totally.
Free skates.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah, it's really nice to see. Actually, it feels like almost like the healthiest possible like way they could be, that like they were dating for a long time and then they started dating other people, but we're still like partnered together to like see each other through some hard things like the deaths in the family and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. And they seem like happier than ever. I don't know. I shouldn't say they're happier than ever, but they are clearly fine.
They seem in the best place that they've been.
And they are skating so well that it's hard to think they're in a bad place.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't know that his girlfriend made his ex-girlfriend skate to the role of hooker.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, that's what made that Carmen so funny to me. It was like his girlfriend chose the music for his ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And it was slutty.
I don't know. I'd be like, oh, let's do it. I mean, do you think I'm hot?
No, it's amazing. Now,
yeah, they're great. And they're going to have the whole crowd with them in Milan.
Yeah.
And us. We love them.
We do. I mean, yeah, we do. We're just not in the crowd necessarily.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, we love them. They have really like smooth skating style. Like I don't know the best way to describe what I think of them, because they do have sort of a distinct feel to me about their skating that's different than the other teams we've been talking about, but I don't know the best way to articulate it. But they're smooth together. They like always seem completely in sync. I don't know. But they have a short program to this like bowl, like Latin kind of feeling program. And it's delightful.
Very flamenco-y.
It's awesome. I think it's going to bring the house down.
Yeah. And they're free skate too.
I think also the free is going to just like they're giving Italians Italian music and saying, here you go.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are going to love it.
Yeah.
If they skate clean, it will be the roof will blow off. I think that they
will
need...
Yeah, they're going to need a new rink.
They'll need like some minor errors, and a major one would help too from some of the other top teams.
Never hurts.
But seeing them on the podium, I mean, that they have a lot of momentum from after the way they skated at the Grand Prix final. It'll just be...
I mean, never doubt, I think, the power of like a moment
an
that
ex-girlfriend
can be created and an ex-girlfriend being present.
Never trust an ex-girlfriend.
I think they're going to get
incredible. She's going to go and win an Olympic medal.
Scores from being at home too. Like it's like if they skate perfectly, they're going to be like right there for gold.
Yes, absolutely. Now, someone who was right there for gold a few seasons ago. So when we were talking about the Japanese, how they had a world title, then they were not the world champions, then they regained their world title. There is someone who did win that world title. And we are going to tell you about them right now. And this is an athlete who you'll probably hear about because they have such an unusual and incredible story.
Yep.
And they are a pair team from Canada. They're the 2024 world champions. And it's Deanna Stellato and Maxime Deschamps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Deanna was kind of on a track to... Deanna's from Chicago. And she was on like a career path in the late 90s, okay, in the late 90s to like really she was going to be vying for a spot on the 2002 U.S. Women's Olympic team, okay? That
so
long ago.
That's so crazy.
She was on track to try to get one of those spots. Would she have ever done it? Who knows? Because the U.S. was so like jam-packed with like such great skaters at that time. But she has injuries, and she does not even make it to that like that Olympic season. She's retired by the time it's 2000, 2001. So she retires from skating. She takes like a 14-year hiatus.
16.
Good night.
I'm just helping. I'm helping. Sorry.
16. No, I'm saying good night to Deanna. and she takes this.
She was off the ice for as long as she was on it, essentially. Yeah.
Oof. That's such a beautiful way to put that.
Yeah.
But she finds her way back to the ice because she's at like a work conference. And at this work conference, they say, what would you do if you like, if you knew you couldn't fail? And she's like, I'd go, you know, I'd start skating and go to the Olympics. And then she, because she's an insane person, we love her,
yes,
by the way. And she's like, well, why don't I just get back on the ice? Like, I haven't been on the ice in a while. So she starts skating again. Long story short, she she skates for the U.S. because she's American, but then she finds this partner who is Canadian, and she starts skating for Canada, and she finds a lot of success with him. His name's Max, like as we mentioned, and they just start. And her story is just so incredible because when she competes in Milan, she'll be 42 years old. 42 years old. She's the oldest figure skating world champion ever. When she won her world title in Montreal at home. Well, because she's Canadian now.
She's Canadian.
Home is where you
and
live.
And training in Montreal, isn't she?
No.
Where do they train?
Yes, they train in Montreal. Yes. That's correct.
She's Canadian now. She was another one who was like, competed at the world championship, she did not have her citizenship yet. So the way the citizenship works is that to compete at the Olympics, you need to be a full citizen of that country. But when you're competing at a world championships or other international events, you just need to be approved by the sanctioning body of the country you're representing. You need to have gone through their qualifying process. Olympics is the only one where citizenship comes into, it's a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, so when she competed and won her world title, she was still on her path to citizenship. And, obviously just like so many like emotions that come along with that. Ashley was mentioning that earlier. And so what we saw actually, like after she had won that world title, that there was just almost this like deep exhale with the team. And it felt like that they lost a little bit of like their timing and rhythm. But I couldn't imagine, like, I always was just thinking, like, listen, they're reigning world champions now. There's like a pressure that comes with that. And also there's this huge, just like deep exhale, like shoulders can come down that like you can actually go to the Olympics. I'm sure mm-hmm. she always wanted to be a world champion. But for so many of us, when we get on the ice, we have this like mindset of like, I need to go to the Olympics. And now that she knows that that's possible, you know, it's a real exhale. And so we've seen them skate this year. It still feels like that, like they haven't fully regained the form of where they were when they won that world title. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like they've taken a step up from where they were last season. That being said, they have just lost the Canadian national title to the second pairs team in Canada, who we'll talk about next. But will they be?
The belief is still, I think.
Is like, there, yes.
The belief amongst skating people, and I think all three of us would agree with this, is that when Deanna and Max skate their best and are skating to their potential, they are absolutely in an Olympic podium conversation, if not in an Olympic gold medal conversation. We just have not seen them skating at their full potential very much this season, mm-hmm. which is, you know, hopefully we do in Milan, because I think, you know, the best kind of competition is when everybody skates their best. But I think that, you know, it's felt like their momentum has really sputtered over the course of the last year. But I do think, you know, all it takes is two clean programs. Do you know what I mean? And like they've been capable of that. Completely.
They're a team to me that is a prime example of in competition. There's this feeling of like chasing to get the lead and being chased to keep your lead. And I feel like we really saw them struggle once they got that world title, because now they're the ones being chased. And it just didn't look like mentally that feeling played into their strengths as a team. And I think this season has really been about getting citizenship and then finding their way back into the mix of, okay, we're in chasing mode again, and this is actually where we do really well. How do we lock in?
Right. And I mean, like, how do you, it's not hard to believe where it's like, you know, being a champion is not part of the narrative of like why you got started, right? Like the mm-hmm. narrative was like, underdog here, I'm back, I belong here, I should be here. Nothing says like I belong here more than a world title, which is sort of like disorienting. Yeah. It's something that you've been trying to achieve for 40 fucking years.
Right.
So no wonder it's disorienting.
I think we see skaters who are much younger than that, who took no break from the ice, struggle with their first major success in the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it is like you spend all this time as you're coming up in the sport, unless you're like a crazy prodigy. Most people really like work for a few years, at least, if not 8 to 10 years, to get to like the level,
at the top level,
the very, very top. And I do think like we see all the time that it does sort of like require a complete recalibration of the way you see yourself. And that can kind of affect the way that you're training and skating. One way that you can lock in, though, is to get your dresses done by Oscar De La Renta, which Deanna did do.
Yes.
She just debuted two new figure skating dresses. And I'm saying figure skating dresses because Oscar De La Renta has never done a figure skating costume.
Famously ball gowns.
Famously.
Not and, like mid-thigh skirts.
No kitten heels and a little T-length dress.
Are
no.
you considering figure skates kitten heels?
Yes.
I think they are.
They kind of are.
Of the heels, what do figure skates? I don't know. They're dangerous, though. Like, that's giving...
Kitten heels are a little dangerous, too,
that's
depending on how you use them.
Louboutin socates could kill you, could break your ankle, and skates will do that to you. So they're not kitten heels.
But they kind of, the heel is kitten length.
Yeah.
Not socate length.
Well,
6-inch heels. Hey, everyone, throw me.
knives on your feet. Let's not act like this isn't, there isn't some danger involved.
100%.
Hillary Clinton wore kitten heels. I would say she's pretty dangerous.
I'm scared of her. And I'm scared of Deanna Stellato.
Yes.
Yeah. In a respectful way.
I think everybody kind of feels that way, by the way. Like on the ice when they go warm up and stuff, everybody's sort of like, let's just stay out of her way.
Yeah.
There is an
intensity. In a healthy, respectful, fearful way.
Everyone respects Deanna, and we love Deanna. I love Deanna. Mm-hmm. But there is an intensity to her of which hell hath no fury as a woman 42.
100%.
Amen.
100%. Amen.
Yes. Like, the last thing you would want to be is somebody who's in between a goal and Deanna Stellato.
No. Yeah. So true. Because she'll kill you.
She'll kill you.
Yeah. With her kitten heels. That's really
now,
what's going to happen.
See, now she's in kitten heels.
And now it's a kitten heel. And she is
when
doing...
When we cover her, though, you will hear us only mention her name. And that is not out of disrespect to Max in the slightest. Because Max is also scared of her.
Yes. Yeah.
In a respectful way.
It's just out of a reverence for her specifically.
Totally. He's such a gentleman.
Yeah. The real highlight for this team is their short program. So watch that. Make sure you're in front of the TV for that because they're doing this super intense, insane program where she is doing a backflip. Is that required? No, it's not.
No. But is she upside down? On purpose?
Well, and the reason they add this backflip is that she really wanted to do this in the program. And Max was like, no, because she stands on his hand and then she flips. And
she can get kicked.
Well, he's
kitten
like,
heels
if you get hurt, everyone in the world is going to hate me that I hurt.
That's so
Deanna
true.
Stellato. And so Deanna said to him, okay, if I don't do it the first time, we'll never do it again. But if I can do it the first time, then it's in the program. And she said that Max didn't know that she had been like learned a lot of tumbling as a kid. And she was like, I can do this in my fucking sleep. He's a loser who's going to be eating my own shit every day because I'm going to do this backflip.
Right, and watching me almost kick him in the face. Right.
Oh, you're paraphrasing? That wasn't a direct quote?
No. And so the backflip is in because she basically tricked Max. He did not want to do it, but she said that he did not know that she took tumbling in the early 90s.
Well, tumbling in the early 90s to me means that she was like 8 years old and there were some foam blocks, but knowing Deanna, she was probably also on track to be on the
knowing Deanna, she was knocking Olympic on team. The fucking Caroli Ranch door being right. Like, let me in.
And they're like, this kid has what it takes. She's got spunk.
Yeah. It's just muscle memory. I think of like some of the basic tumbling, right? But God, I've been tricked for worse reasons.
You have, and we all have. So we mentioned that they had just lost the Canadian title. They lost the Canadian title to Leah Pereira, Trent Mouchot. They're a very good team, very pleasant. Like, they have a really nice style to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they skate well, they can do really well. I don't think that they're in this, like, podium, like, conversation, but they're a very good team. Like I said, you know, they just beat a former world champion, and they head into the Olympics as the Canadian champions.
Yeah, their short program is one of my favorite programs of the whole season. Mm-hmm. It's this like beautiful kind of romantic program that they do really well, and so I can't wait to see that. Yeah, I agree. They're definitely on the outside looking in of podium conversation. But like we said, pairs is so volatile. Yeah. You know, who knows?
It's not impossible.
Certainly not. But they are also a new team. They were not competing together until 4 years ago. Actually, 3 years ago. So you know, that has not slowed their momentum, but it's just like you have to catch up, you know, when you're with a new partner. But they're great. I'm a big fan, but the free skate, they have a tendency to have some issues. So So yeah, but big fan. Trent does spell his name with two N's, and that is important to his
lore.
We
will affectionately, or at least I will affectionately be calling him Trent.
Yeah, and
he's been on the scene, the pair scene, for quite a while.
Yes.
Didn't he skate with KMT?
He definitely skated with, well, his like other, I guess, top level partner was Evelyn Walsh, and he was on the scene with her for a while. But he might have skated with Kirsten when they were young. No,
Kirsten's gonna listen to this episode.
She's gonna
be
like, "You idiot!"
What?
I don't remember that ever happening.
Kirsten, I'm really sorry.
That was an apology, Kirsten. It was pretty quiet, but if you didn't hear it,
was
it, that's
only
what it was.
Well, I whispered so that she knew it was only for you.
Okay. Who else, Adam?
Now, there's an important
somebody.
Okay. Do you want to bring up somebody? There's a few teams I have left, and I'm sure you're thinking of them. Why don't you take this one away?
Yeah. And this is actually one of Adam's favorite teams, so I won't not let him talk about them. But the team that was in fourth place at the World Championships last year, and they were also in fourth place at the Grand Prix final, so they're right there, and they just won last month the European title. Anastasia Metelkina and Luka Barulava from Georgia. Georgia is in quotes here because they are from Russia.
Mm-hmm. Atlanta.
Right.
They're from Atlanta. No, they're from Georgia, or they're competing for Georgia. This team has risen up in the ranks quickly because they were not a team until 2 years ago. I guess I should say 3 years ago, but really two seasons ago is when we started to see them. And they were immediately when, so Luca had a different partner at the last Olympics, and they got ninth at the Olympics last time. So when I said, you know, there's only two teams back from the top 10 at these Olympics, I wasn't including Luca, who's like an additional person who's back. But Luca had an old partner. He has a new partner. They are really great pairs skaters specifically. Like, I'm saying that because their pairs elements are the highlights.
Their throws, the lifts
style
are scary.
The lifts are a bit scary. The throws are Russian.
Yes.
Complimentary. Yes.
And you'll see, when you see these throws, it looks like she's being dropped like a little pin. Like, she lands them so easily, and they're huge. They're enormous. This is like the immaculate Russian pair skating that, like, we were talking about before. Like, these throws, they don't get better. And she starts her short program in a basically like yoga headstand.
Yes. Looks like someone was like, and if this is in your practice, feel free to take this time. And she just goes, ah, got it. She is going to have bloody arms.
Yeah, bloody
forearms. She wears clear tape for this specific reason. Mm-hmm. She gets spun around gently, respectfully on her head.
Yep.
Mm. And then moves on
to Georgia.
And that really is the only way you should.
She also dyes her hair for this program.
That's right.
She is naturally blonde, and she's so committed to this character that she didn't feel like it's a Bolero program, correct?
Yeah, it's Bolero.
That Bolero didn't make any sense as a blonde. God forbid.
Right.
No.
But a brunette. And so she like
spray dyes her hair.
Spray dyes her hair brown for this. Yeah.
And it matches.
And she puts that spray right on the ice to start the program.
And it doesn't rub off on the ice. I always worried that there'd be like a little brown, like
brown head mark. It doesn't go anywhere. No.
It doesn't
go anywhere. The Olympics we'll get a little brown mark.
Oh, we hope. A skid mark?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
A skid mark.
Well, that's what I was like. Oh.
What is that? Oh, that's a skid mark. That's a skid mark from Metelkina's head. Don't worry.
A free skate. She discovered glitter hairspray this year. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's 2001 and you are getting ready to go into limited two. And you are hanging out with your girlfriends and you're just like, you know what? Maybe like more. Let's do more.
Yeah,
she does. I've never seen so much glitter hairspray in my life, and it's amazing.
And also, don't be alarmed. There are ambulance sounds in their free skate, and those are not outside your door. Those are in the arena.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been tricked by that one too many times.
We need to ban any type of
siren
alert system from being used in music. And you might be listening, being like,
what are you talking about?
Common. It's too common.
Especially if they're like Russian. It's all they're always doing some program about a tragedy that needs either the police or an EMT.
Yeah.
It's always mid-program, like woo, woo. And it's like, we get it. Like, you could just do a sad program. The paramedics don't need to be there.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the skaters need the paramedics. Out there.
They but need knock them on actually.
Wood. Hopefully knock not on wood. This
hopefully
Olympics.
No one. Hopefully no one.
Should we move on to one of Adam's other favorite teams and mine? Mm-hmm. Also Russians who skate for Hungary.
Oh yes.
Maria Pavlova and Alexei Sviatchenko. We really like this team. They just Maria is very intense, has a bit of Deanna Stellato energy
vibe,
but is, you know, 20 years younger than her. Mm-hmm. But Adam likes to say that she's what, a biker chick?
Yeah, I think that she's like a biker chick, that she just has like a grit to her where also she will do anything but fall on an element. She would rather donate her legs to science than go down on an element. Like there's a grit to her that is just so like, and we really saw it in her like programs last season, because they used to skate to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, there was some real gritty where it was just like, swig a whiskey, get me out there, I'm not gonna fall, god damn it. It was like that kind of like mentality. But, and this year they've really like, they've improved their style, so it's a lot softer, so you might not see it, but I need you to know that like that's where I'm coming from, where I'm like, she was a fucking whiskey drinking pirate last year.
Yeah.
And now,
and just because she's repackaged it with some nice dresses doesn't mean we don't know who she is.
Doesn't mean she doesn't have scurvy. Forget. Like she's skating around like she needs like a lemon wedge. Like
right, vitamin C stat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. God damn it. Fuck. Like there's just like that grit to her, which I love.
Right. Yeah,
she's just been at sea for too long.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and any amount of time at sea is probably too long.
Agreed. But they're just,
this is an anti-cruise podcast,
and but they also have like sponsored a really good
sponsored not by any cruise lines,
by River Cruises.
Sponsored by River Cruises. Viking. We won't be on the sea. We will not be on the sea. We will be on the river. Freshwater only.
But they also have like a really a nice camaraderie to the two of them. Mm-hmm. Like lots of like high fives and handshakes at the ends of good performances, which we mm-hmm. do really love to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this is, sorry, is there something else you want to say about them?
No, there isn't.
Okay. Because I think this is a perfect segue. Because Maria, our pirate girl, used to skate with a man named Balázs Nagy for mm-hmm. Hungary.
Yes.
Balázs is an American pair skater who did not make the Olympic team this year. But I think that he was like right there. So I feel like this is the time we should go into American pairs.
I love you. Agreed. Explaining the way that the segue makes sense.
It did.
I knew
in my
it made
head
sense
more than it did it when I started to speak. But I was like, Balázs, Olympic team in the U.S. that he's not quite on, but
he's
is
the first alternate,
an alternate.
Yeah, and yeah, the very first so, alternate.
Yes. So anyway, that didn't. It did make. It happened.
No,
faster
we are here.
In my
we're
head.
In American pairs now, and you got us there.
It happened faster in my head than it happened in.
But I
the sentence.
I agree that this is like that. That's your international pair scene. That's your international pair scene. And to like button this up, let's talk about who you'll see from the U.S. in the pairs event. And let's talk about like where they stand.
Yeah. And this is the latest in any of these preview episodes that we will bring up the Americans, because this discipline is the discipline where the U.S. has the least chance at a medal. In the other previews, the Americans come up a bit sooner because they are in medal contention more than the pairs are. And that's historically, like, that's been the case in recent history for the U.S. is that the pairs has been the discipline where we kind of are a little not quite there.
We're figuring
actually,
it out.
Actually, can we do like an acknowledgement to American pairs? Because in this quad... in this quad, the Americans did have a world champion, and that was Alexa Kinnearum and Brandon Fraser. And they won the world title in 2022, and they were second at the world championships in 2023. Alexa and Brandon both had very long careers, and they ended them with these world medals. And you know, there were still three more years before the Olympics, but Alexa and Brandon had also won a team gold medal in Beijing. So they were Olympic champions, they were world champions, and they felt like it was the perfect time for them to retire. So they retired right after the 2023 World Championships. So the U.S. did have like a moment where like we had the best team in the world. And again, like when we talked about at the beginning of this episode with like a big like scene change, where just so many teams changing, like Alexa and Brandon were part of that shifting of the guard of like, oh my God, now they're who's the next pair team in the U.S.?
Yep.
And in the U.S., this time period is very much like musical chairs, but like not when the music is starting. It's like musical chairs the second that the music pushes stop and you have to find a chair and people are like scrambling to find a spot. It feels a little bit chaotic in that nature.
Yeah.
But we've managed to like scrap it out, and we have two teams that we are sending. Every other discipline in the U.S. will have three teams. And we were actually unable to send from U.S. championships our top two teams because of citizenship issues. So the teams that we are sending, is it top two or is it
there one was and the three?
One and three. So one and three were having citizenship issues. Passports didn't come through in time. So we are sending two and four.
The teams that place second and fourth at the U.S. championships are the teams that are going. The top U.S. team should be Ellie Cam and Danny O'Shea. Danny has had a really, really long pairs career. He was a U.S. champion back in 2016 with a previous partner. And then he was not competing for a while. And then he teamed up with Ellie this quad. So this is yet another team that is new this quad. And they have really nice skating skills. They look really good together. Like they move well together. Ellie has way less pairs experience than Danny does. And so we see that kind of show up sometimes in the like pair specific elements, like throws. She like struggles to land those, but Danny's like a great partner again. Like, and she's not a bad partner, by the way. I'm just like the throws are a struggle and you'll see that. And so, but they should be the top U.S. team here. They got seventh at the World Championships last year. They have been in the top three at U.S. Championships for several years in a row. Adam has actually choreographed for them.
For Danny with an old partner.
Oh, I forgot. It was with Chelsea.
Yes, but we've known Danny for such a long time.
That feels so recent to me, and it wasn't.
The thing about like Danny and Ellie, it's so interesting, is that the pairs scene was so open that Danny was actually like one of Ellie's coaches, And the coach that they work with was like, you guys actually look pretty good. Like, maybe you should just compete together. Like, Dan, I don't even think it was on Danny's radar.
Oh,
but
wow.
Because the scope of pairs was like so open, they did. And they've been really successful. And like, yeah, they do struggle with some of like the throws and the side-by-side jumps. But where they excel is they have some of the best lifts in the entire world. And
yes.
with big mistakes, they still get a lot of points and they still can place within the top 10 because the lifts are just like unbelievable. Ellie's positions are incredible. Danny's as strong as a fucking ox.
Yeah.
And he's bald.
Right. Yeah, that is
that
a big
gives
part of
you
his
power.
Lore.
You're not being weighed down by hair.
Hair. No.
Ugh, he's more aerodynamic. You know, you're talking about the consistency issues that they do have as a team, but I do feel like we should note that this season they actually did find a little bit of success on the Grand Prix circuit. Weren't they second and third at their events?
I think they got podiumed. Third. Yeah, they got they third podiumed. At both. They were meddling at both of their events. Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, like, so they have the opportunity to place well internationally, and they're a very good team, and we will most likely see them in the team event as like the team that yeah. skates in the team event for the US because right now that like they have been the strongest team that from the US that we'll see at the Olympics, I think personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm really excited about though? I feel like for Ellie, part of this confidence of, you know, she knows she's a newer pair girl, but now it's like, okay, no, you're an Olympian now. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if this is going to be the confidence boost that she might need under pressure, and if we see a completely different athlete out on the ice in Milan, I would love to see that because everything else looks so good.
Yeah,
that just the consistency with the throws and sometimes side by side, like holding them back, it'd be really awesome to see their total package.
Yep, I completely agree. Yeah, so they are when they get it right, they are such a lovely watch. Like they like really like it's they're nice to like sit back and enjoy them. It's mm-hmm. because they move so well together. So they are likely, yeah. I think they're in the top 10 at the Olympics.
Yes.
It's just a matter of how well do they skate, you know, and where does that place them within the top 10?
Right. Mm-hmm. And now our second pair team that we're sending is Emily Chan and Spencer Akira Howe from Boston. Now, they, at the beginning of this quad, were actually having a lot of success. They were
yep.
in the top five at Worlds
mm-hmm.
because they have really strong pair elements. They also, in the last few years, have struggled with some like inconsistencies. Side-by-side jumps like are a huge problem, have been a big problem this season, and mm-hmm. along with like the throws. At the
also
U.S.
injuries.
And injuries. At
and
the U.S.
joining the military.
Well, we'll get
right,
there.
Right, and having to go to training camp.
Okay.
Right.
We'll get there. So just to give you a little background on the U.S. Championships, at the U.S. Championships, they skated bad in the short program.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. It almost felt like the Olympic conversation was over for them.
Yep.
But they rebounded with a stronger free skate. Not perfect, but they did enough to find themselves in fourth place, which, because of the citizenship issues that Ashley was talking about, would be enough to be the second team that was that could qualify for the Olympics and would be enough.
Mm-hmm.
A lore about them is yes, they've dealt with those injuries and inconsistencies in the last year or two. But in the last season, last offseason, Spencer joined the Army. Take it away.
Yeah, my I think Ashley might know the most about this because he's based in Boston, and I feel like you know more people at that skating club than we do.
Yeah.
My basic understanding is that he joined the specific program of the Army that's for athletes, that helps them like get extra funding and things like that. Is that right? And he was away I don't remember how many months he was away from skating training to be doing what he was doing.
Yeah. So when you join this program, it's a funding opportunity. And this is the first time I know of a figure skater using this, but a lot of like the bobsledding team will be joining this program. I think maybe some track athletes as well. But basically this program, you get funding, you owe them service. You owe them, I believe it's 4 years of active military service. You do have to go and complete training camp. My understanding was that it was 4 months, but I've been seeing online people saying he took 6 months off. So I don't know. I'm just an army brat, not an active military member.
He was definitely away from skating training for a longer period of time than we ever see people just like voluntarily take off.
Yes.
And I don't want to say he was off, but you know what I mean, away from skating.
He does say that his professional goals are to become a chaplain in the military, which makes sense and is also the most confusing thing I've ever heard of in my life. Now, if you were to say like spiritual leader,
I think they call it a chaplain though, like the army calls it that.
But isn't a chaplain like Christian? Again, we're learning about religion here.
Well, yes. Yeah, chaplain
he gives non-denominational to me.
he gives
everyone is welcome.
Well, too bad for him because
in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
That's what he gives me. And that's actually a new division of the army.
Well, I think that the US Army does give Christian. So
it does.
I think that chaplain is like the I don't know if they have every hopefully they have every religion represented. You're not, you know what, listeners, don't be here for any sort of education about the army or religion
or education. I just presented, I believe, three things that I thought were fact, and each one of you were like, that's not right. So don't listen to me.
You know who I love? Chaplain Roan. She has such good music.
Chaplain Roan. I love her services.
Her Christian services.
But yeah, this is a team, like you were saying, Adam, volatile. You don't know what's gonna happen. They don't know what's
gonna
happen.
No.
No one knows what's gonna happen.
No, it's an off season, and all of a sudden someone's in the army. Like, that's
right.
Kind of sums it up.
They're a wild card, not in like any kind of Olympic podium hopes, but a wild card in like, what is this Olympic experience going to be for them? Emily is a classic pair skater. I think like them as a team, they're really beautiful to watch on the ice. They're their artistry. They have a lovely, they're skating to Ghost for the free skate.
Yeah, the Ghost soundtrack.
I think it's really nice.
Well, yeah, and Spencer, something you need to know is like, Spencer is a ham. A ham.
Blow kisses.
He's hot. He knows it. And he's blowing kisses to anyone who's watching. They announce his name. He blows kisses. He's smiling. He's winking and pointing at the camera. Like, he's having the time. He's having the audition of his life.
Yeah. And he will not look at Emily once. That being said, great artists.
Yeah. No, totally. And nice people. And you know, I mean, Emily and Spencer in this quad, to Adam's point, have been top five in the world. They've made the Grand Prix final. They're not like, you know, out of it. They're just, they're so inconsistent that it's hard for us to, you know, I think if they skate two clean programs, they're absolutely, you know, around where like Ellie and Danny can be. You know what I mean? I just, you know, will they skate two clean programs? I don't know. But
right. But, you know, like
all these teams have great potential when they skate.
They do.
Well.
Yeah.
But like Ashley said, like there's just so many unknown factors for so many of these teams coming in. And for some of them, it can be citizenship. But for some of them, it's, will I even be at the Olympics? And you have no idea how that release of pressure of like, I did it, here I am, can affect the athletes. And again, like, Olympic pressure is just like unlike anything else. The Olympics is like such a weird it's an amazing event, but it's unlike any skating competition you've ever competed
Nothing
in.
Nothing mm-hmm. you will ever do feels like the Olympics. And weird is a great way to put it, because it does definitely feel like there's more pressure, but it's not even just that. It feels like you're on a made-for-TV figure skating show.
Yes.
That makes you really nervous, and it feels like the world is watching. It's
well, it just it the strange. Whole Olympics, like, it's just not for the athletes, it's for the viewer.
It's not, it's
and
for
you
the
learn
viewers.
That when you're there, when they're like, here, you're the most important event of your life is at 10:15 in the morning, and you're like, huh? Right.
I've never competed at that time in my life,
right?
Yeah, those were the days. So
not
I
everybody
loved working the Olympics when the competitions were in the mornings,
yeah. I mean, it was just surreal. I remember when, like, I competed and it was like, oh my God, like, I just won an Olympic medal. And, like, you get out of the arena and people are like, okay, what do you want for lunch? And you're like,
I know. That oh. gives you the craziest perspective. You're like, oh, I guess I am hungry.
Yeah, I guess it is still daylight. It's just because, noon. Like, when we're done competing, usually it's like,
it's
okay,
zero dark let's go, 30.
Right, let's go celebrate. Let's go have a glass of champagne.
Language.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you could have champagne at lunch.
Nobody's stopping you.
That's right. So that's to the all episode. These pairs, I here's hoping you have a champagne at lunch in Milan.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be fabulous.
And, lunchtime champagne.
I feel like that's kind of your general scope of who will be there, what to expect, what to not expect, and what. And I think basically you should expect the unexpected.
100%.
The best way to put it.
That's pairs motto 101.
It is.
Well,
and Pairs Motto 102 is you have to watch the competition. This was 101. Competition is 102. But we hope that this was helpful in your journey to learning a little bit more about the pairs field you'll see in Milan at the Olympics.
Yeah. Let us know who your favorites are based on this lore.
Yes.
That you've heard. I want to yeah. know. Like, who has been sold to you? Is it
right? Who
the
is
pirate?
Your new dream team?
Is it the pirate? Is it the 42-year-old?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, the
ex-girlfriends?
Is it the exes?
It's
yeah.
The
tell us everything. Tell us who you're cheering for.
Yeah. We'll okay. see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.